You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do as a child when the troublemaker of your school suddenly passes from the living to the dead, yet you still receive messages from him from beyond the grave?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, email your audio file if you got that. You can send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com if you like the program. Keep us on the air. Become a supporter of the show. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. Or if you prefer Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. To sign up, $5 a month gets you access to our EPP bonus episodes. We release brand new ones every single week, exclusively for supporters, or our EPPs, as we call them. You also get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they're released to the public. You get our archive. You get our ebook, our audiobook. The list goes on and on of stuff. I forget every week how much there is of extras as a thank you for supporting the program. Best part for you, it's only $5 a month. And that's what helps fund the show and keeps it on the air. You can get 1 month free if you do the annual membership. So there's an even another way that you can support the show and keep us on the air. Tony and Harper Bruski joining you on today's episode of the program. And how are you this fine day?
I'm doing great. I'm really glad that my new show, Cautionary Tales with Harper, is finally out.
It is out. It is live, and you can download it wherever you download podcasts.
Yeah, I've downloaded it myself.
That's good. So you've been sitting there binging, listening to your show.
And your show.
Yeah, well, that's good. So you too can do the same. We got about, there's about six episodes out now by the time this airs. New ones every single week. Just search Cautionary Tales with Harper and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. We have a new cautionary tale for you every single week. We tackle things from mysteries to, you know, everyday things. Like one of the episodes is about thumb sucking and the repercussions that could possibly happen with
it. Yeah, and dangerous foods.
Yeah, all different things. New ones every single week. Right after we're done with this episode recording here, we're going to be recording another episode of that, and we're going to be talking about how to survive in the Wild West.
Yeah.
So the cautionary tales of what life was like back then. We tackle different areas every single week, and Harper hosts it. I'm her co-host on the show, and it's really fun. So if you like listening to the episodes that she's on here of Real Ghost Stories Online, please do go and press subscribe to Cautionary Tales with Harper and leave her a review there on Apple Podcasts. We, and she, of course, greatly appreciates that. Helps us get that one off the ground as she launches her own show at the age of 8. So,
what do you think of that now, Dad?
Well, you beat me. I started when I was 14 in commercial radio. Although I will say this, I was certainly playing radio station at 8. I just podcasting the internet. None of that existed. Had that existed, I'd probably be doing the same thing. But you have the ability now to get an audience, which I did not at that time. So that's pretty darn cool, and I'm very excited for you. And I think it's awesome that that you're following in my footsteps. I think that's really neat, and I'm glad you genuinely love doing this.
In fact, the other day, when it came out, I was literally happy crying.
Yeah, you were. You were. So, guys, gals, whoever's listening, pets. Your cat has access to an iPhone, whatever. press subscribe over there. Cautionary Tales with Harper. It's real fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And a little bit later in the show, too, we're going to talk about kind of a ghostly experience that we had over the weekend. You may have heard me talking about it on a previous episode. Actually, no, you probably haven't, because those ones haven't aired yet. So you'll get to hear it firsthand in just a few moments here. Unless you're an EPP, then you might have heard it already. But we'll talk about that shortly. Let's go to our first story today. It says, when I was in middle school, there was a troublemaking kid. Everyone knew because he was always in trouble. He literally had his own table at the lunchtime area, because if not, he would pick on kids and start food fights. I'd see him, and as soon as he would get loud, it was here. We would go again. Another fight is about to start. During my freshman year in high school, most of my friends and I used to have six period PE because we used to play sports. And one day, this kid comes and asks us if he can walk in the field with us. One of my friends knew him and goes, "Of course, you look so familiar." And I asked him what middle school he went to. As soon as he said the middle school's name, I knew who he was. I told him, "You're the troublemaking kid that always sat alone, right?" He laughed and said, "Yeah, but that he used to be like that because no one understood him." Turns out he was going through a rough time, and the only way he knew how to deal with it was to lash out and stay in trouble to cope with it. His mom was sick terminally, and he did not know how to deal with it at the time. He hung out with our group for the sixth period for the rest of the year. But by that summer, I noticed he would wear a beanie every day, even though it was hot. I'd never made a comment about it, but I did notice. We went on summer break, and when we went back to school in September, I noticed he would not come around us as much anymore. Since he was a year older than the rest of us, I assumed he was just busy. Every day when I would be on my way to the sixth period PE class, I would see him sitting on the lunch table, and he would always wave and smile. I was used to seeing him every day, and sometimes we'd walk home together after school. But something in him was different. I just could not figure it out. December came and we went on our winter break that year. The holidays were right in the middle of the week, so we actually got an extra week off for winter break. And the night before we went back to school, I had a dream with him in it. He came to me and told me he was leaving. And I kept asking him, "Where are you going?" He just said he was going to see his mom and he wanted me to know it was going to be okay and not to worry. When I woke up the next morning, I had tears in my eyes, but I made myself get up and go to school. I did not know why I felt such sorrow, but I got a grip and went on with my day. It was in my third period class, and suddenly the principal went on the intercom to let us know my friend had died that morning. I swear, what that principal said was not making any sense to my brain. Then, when I reacted, I knew exactly what the dream meant and what the news I was hearing was about. It was so hard breaking that he did not tell any of us what was going on with him. He had a brain tumor, and he knew the risks he was taking to try and remove it. He never made it off the surgical table. At that moment, I knew why he would wear a beanie every day after that. I promised I would name my firstborn son after him. And fast forward to 2008, I find out I'm pregnant, and the doctor tells us that my due date was going to be October 15th. I almost fainted because October 15th was my friend's birthday. On October 11th of that year, I had my baby boy, and Jonathan is his middle name, since his dad would not allow me to use it as a first name. But I did use it anyway in honor of my friend. My son reminds me of my friend in some ways. He differentially has a sarcastic sense of humor, and ever since he was a baby, he likes wearing beanies. Hope this makes it into the podcast. I have a few other stories, but I'll write in with those at some other time. Thank you for reading my story.
Okay. Well, that's another story where, like, a ghost can go into someone's dream, but it's not a ghost yet. He died that morning, not at night.
Mm-hmm. It's almost showing that the living seem to have the ability to haunt or to give messages or communicate in some way, shape, or form with the living. Almost to be a ghost while you're alive, and somehow telepathically communicate or somehow give messages to those around you prior to your own death. And there's no way to answer the question of, well, was he aware that he was able to give that message to his friend? Because he then passed away before that question could ever be asked. But you have to wonder if, you know, when he was on the surgical table and that was going on, that you know, maybe he was still breathing and technically alive, but his body had known he's not going to survive. And his soul, whatever you want to call it, his consciousness had already left and he had moved on. I've heard of that many a times before too, where people who are in like a horrible accident or something. And we have machines in hospitals and such that can keep your body living, even though there's going to be no chance of your brain ever recovering and coming back from something. And they'll keep them alive sometimes for longer periods of time than otherwise they would be, because maybe they wanted to donate their organs to someone else for a transplant. And the soonest that the doctors are able to get those organs out, it sounds horrible, but it's called harvesting of organs. But the soonest that someone maybe can get those organs out is going to be on Thursday, but the person could technically die on Tuesday. The machines can keep the heart going so the body doesn't, for lack of a better term, spoil, because the stuff needs to be ready to go so it can be transplanted into somebody else quickly and save their life. I've heard of many stories where in that time window between the person really being dead and the machines completely taking over everything, of the ghost of those individuals reaching out to their loved ones, where it's really that person has already passed, but and their soul has moved on, their consciousness has moved on. A machine is keeping the blood flowing and the oxygen moving and things like that. But for all intents and purposes, their consciousness has already moved. And them coming to people that way, that could have been the case in this story too.
Well, I just learned something new.
Well, that's the point. You'll learn a lot of new things on the show, and then eventually it'll be like, you'll be shocked when you hear something new, because that's where I'm at now. After doing this show for all these years, it's exciting, but every once in a while, I do get a story where I'm like, I haven't heard that before, but it's rare. But it happens, and you're at the beginning of your journey on this. This is actually episode number 19 for you. Of doing the show. And I'm at like 1,000 something episodes, but you'll get there. You will get there, especially when I eventually kick it and I haunt you and I co-host the show through a Ouija board.
That'd be great.
or EVPs or something like that.
You know, the way that you get like rare episodes that you haven't heard.
Mm-hmm.
Before, it's your version of a rare LOL doll.
I guess so. That's the analogy that you're going to make of, because LOL dolls are a big thing to you right now.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess so. I guess you're right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I guess you can call me... Truth. And my story starts when I was in sixth grade. Trying to make a long story short, I've always had bad vision, so I have had glasses since I was five. I had a waterbed at the time. And so my glasses, when I would go to sleep, would sit in the middle where my mirror was. Well, one night I was sleeping, and in my dream, I was in a deep sleep. My dog was barking viciously. At the time, I did have a white poodle named Rocky. This was in the 80s. I was born in 75. And he would lay on the top of the stairs as a way of protecting us. Well, if I was laying on my right side, I could see down the first flight of stairs to where the landing was, and there was a window there. So I was sleeping. My dog, in my dream, was barking viciously. Well, it woke me up, and my dog actually was barking on all fours, standing up, barking viciously. I was looking down. I was looking at him because he was on the top of the stairs. And I saw this black shadow figure. I can still see it now. I could not see facial features, and I could not see through him. He was that black. I could not see feet, but I could make out like the outline of a body. And I call it a he because that's what it felt like to me. I also felt like he was studying me. He was there studying me. If my dog wasn't there, he would have probably got to me. Why? I don't know. But that is the beginning of why my fascination for the paranormal and the unknown, metaphysical, philosophy, everything, religions have fascinated me. And I have always been looking for answers because nobody, when I woke up the next morning and told my mom, she didn't believe me. So I just kind of kept it to myself. I had no answers. And I thought time and time again throughout the years, did that really happen? Well, what happened is as fast as I saw this thing and we looked at each other, I grabbed over to the left in the middle of where my mirror was of my waterbed to grab my glasses. And as fast as I went to go grab my glasses, put them on and look back over, it was gone. And my dog just immediately stopped barking, just immediately, and just sat down on the top of the stairs. My dog Rocky's head was still up and he was still alert, but he had quit barking and was sitting from standing on all fours. And the thing about this that I know to be true is it was not somebody. It was because we lived in an old house in the Quad Cities. Every single stair had a creak to it. There was absolutely no creak. This whatever black shadow figure, it was not human. It did not creep back down the stairs. It did not run down the stairs. As fast as it was there, it was gone. But one thing I can tell you is it was there to study me. And why? I don't know. I was in sixth grade. I was going through a lot to be so young. But I would really like to have answers on this. If you ever want to talk more about this,
And we don't give out the numbers. But what I think I'm going to start up by saying, I know you've kind of definitively in your mind gone down the path of this was not human. I don't know how you can say that really definitively, quite honestly. And that's just my opinion based on hearing tens of thousands of ghost stories describing similar things of which you're describing. So that's where I'm coming from on it. Obviously, I don't have a definitive answer as to what it was, but I also don't feel you can definitively say that it was not at one time human. When you see a shadow person, it doesn't immediately mean it's something negative by any stretch of the imagination. That's the preconceived notion a lot of us come to when you're that age and you see a shadow person. Yeah, I'd be freaking out too. I'd be thinking it was something dark and evil and scary and all that. So to have those emotions run through your mind and to kind of have that, you know, repeated to yourself over and over, this was not human. I get how you get there, but I really don't think you can honestly, you know, based on the evidence that we've seen over the years of so many stories, say it was not human. I honestly, the fact that you said it was standing there studying you, I would say take a moment and take a look at the perspective of what you just described there. You said it's standing there studying you. What also may be standing over a child and keeping watch over it? A loved one, someone who cares about the person, someone who has passed on, who may be curious about their ancestors into the future, their grandchildren or whatever the extension may be. It may have been a protector spirit that to you, you saw it as something shadow-like and rightfully so, kind of scary, but it may not have had that intent whatsoever. It may have simply just been there and been standing at watch as I think we have those things around us. You happen to pick up on it, but I don't know necessarily that it was something negative and evil or anything like that, based on everything else you told me, or at least that I picked up on. If I missed something, I'm sorry, but I don't know that it's necessarily something that is or was not human at one point in time, I should say. I think it very well could have been. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it could have been human, and I think it could have just been a loved one that was just trying to keep watch and make sure that you were safe.
Yeah.
Because there could have been something else that wasn't that shadow person.
I think if it was something darker and scarier and had more of an ill intent, I think there would be more to the story than what she just told.
Yeah.
I think it would have gotten a lot darker and she would have been feeling and sensing evil and darkness, and I think more would have happened. So that's my opinion on it. You know, that's just where, like I said, this nobody has a sure answer to any of this. But if you're asking based on my experiences of what I've heard over the years, that's where I would go. And that's what I would say I think was happening to you back then. But you're right to be, you know, to be cautious and to be scared and to have all those feelings. I just think sometimes, especially when we look back on ghostly situations from many, many years ago, before I think the verbalization of all these encounters was really out there. You had some books at the library and maybe a couple episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, if that, at depending on the point in time we're talking about. But there wasn't as much openness about it and people sharing their experiences to commiserate and say, okay, maybe all this isn't so negative. Maybe it's just, it is scary, but not necessarily something bad. So that's where I would go with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. So over the weekend, we went for a walk. You, me, and your older sister.
Yep.
And we went to one of our favorite places. You've heard us talk about it many times, the Prairie Grove Battlefield, where roughly 2,500 people died during the Civil War. Not exactly, you know, you think of as a happy place, but it is remarkably a peaceful place and very beautiful. Lots of trees. Fall is starting, all of that. And you and your sister had your cameras out. And you were taking pictures and video, and your sister took a video underneath the schoolhouse that was there, kind of in the crawl space. There was a little opening that you could fit a lens through. And you saw the video, right?
Yeah. Livy caught some shadow people on camera.
I like how just matter of fact you are answering it. Yeah, she caught some shadow people, just like. Yeah, she caught a squirrel. You know, it's just, it's like, yep. It's just so it like indoctrinated into you. Like, yep, she caught that. What were your thoughts on that? Did you have any feelings or anything at the time, or were you surprised to see that showed up on camera?
I was surprised to see that actually showed up on camera.
No, you didn't get any like weirdness around there, because I know you're somewhat sensitive. But did you have any feelings or anything around those buildings?
No,
it just kind of caught you by surprise.
The only way that I could have like caught something like that I would know if it was good or bad, or if I could even feel if it was like a human spirit.
So what exactly do you think it was? Do you think it was two different things that went by? Because it almost looked like that on the camera, or was it all part of one thing that kind of moved by and, you know, had two parts to it? I don't know
what it was.
It wasn't distinctly shaped from what we could see in the camera. It looked like it was fairly close to the camera, But if you want to see what video we're talking about, it is on our social media pages at Real Ghost Stories Online. I know it's on Facebook. I believe it's on our Instagram as well. It was posted on the 4th of October. So if you want to do a little scrolling back to see it, I put it up there in regular speed. I put it up there in slow motion. I put it up there in infrared. And it is, I think, one of the most interesting videos that I think any of us have gotten of anything in terms of something paranormal. Does it make you want to go and capture more when you see that was captured? Does it make you want to do more of that? Or does it make you just want to talk more about these things in a studio? When for you personally, how does that make you feel seeing that we had a firsthand experience there where one of the three of us picked up something on our cameras that we can't explain?
I think I kind of want to do more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that? What's your curiosity with it? What would your goal be of doing more of that?
Like, if we could be able to, like, interact with that, not like, have it, like, attached to us,
mm-hmm.
and have, like, accidentally come home with it, but just, like, ask some friendly questions.
So you're interested in getting out there and actually doing investigating.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like this is going to be a YouTube series soon?
Because it is.
And honestly, that's as far as that conversation has gone as to what you just heard right there. But stay tuned. I think there may be some interesting things to come with the three of us going to haunted locations.
And doing some funny things at fast food restaurants.
No, I don't think we're going to prank people in the drive-thru. I think it's more so about capturing some interesting things on camera when we're out there. It could be interesting. Could be fun.
So, yeah.
Anyway, let's get another caller and hear another ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I actually have two different stories. One, I'll call back with the other one at a later date. But the first story happens when I was like 9 years old. I was in foster care and I just moved into a new home setting with new foster parents. And they had given me, for my birthday, which was 2 weeks prior, a few different items. One of them was one of those static globe things where if you put your finger on it, the static electricity will follow you that's showing inside and follow you. Or if you put your heel's hand, the whole thing will go up and follow you. I actually used that as my nightlight for a few nights. And the house that I was in was very, very old, and according to my foster parents, it was a house that the family has owned for several generations of family. So one night after being there for about a week, I was pretty much all the way asleep, but the lighting in the room was weird and it kept flickering, and I couldn't tell if I was dreaming or not, and I winded up opening my eyes. I knew I was awake because I felt a little bit of a static electricity in my arm, like numbness in my arm, that tingly feeling that you get when you've been sitting on your hands or something like that for a long. That's what I mean by the numb. And I saw what appeared to be a finger or something tracking along the static globe. Whatever was touching it, the static was following. Then I also saw a whole hand get on the long thing, and the pressure, the tingly feeling on my arm was really, really bad. It was really, really intense at that point. And then the whole hand would go away. And my room was very small. So I immediately hit the lamp light that I had to see what was causing my finger, what was causing the whole situation. And the moment I hit the light, everything went away. There was nobody there, nobody in my room. The static globe actually went back to its normal state, which is just going firing off everywhere. And there's just nobody there. Like, nobody, not a single, nothing, just absolutely nothing there. When I asked my foster parents the next day what exactly what kind of, when I told my foster parents about what it had happened, my foster parents kind of just looked at each other knowingly and said that probably one of the many spirits that inhabit this house. And I was like, spirit? And this is when I got taught that this house, because my foster parents were African American, and I'm one. It turns out that the house was part of the Underground Railroad, and several people died.
And that's where the phone call cuts out, but I think we got the gist of it, of the house being part of the Underground Railroad. And notoriously, the Underground Railroad, if you're not aware, it's not literally a railroad. It's not there's no rail line or trains or anything. It was a series of hidden tunnels and such, and passageways and paths and ways of freeing African Americans and getting them out of the custody of slave owners and such at that point in history. It spreads throughout the entire country, and different towns have different versions of Underground Railroad and all that. My first radio station that I worked at had part of the Underground Railroad in the basement, and it was quite interesting to go down there and see what was left of it. And it went all around the town, but notoriously very haunted as well. So I'm not at all surprised that you would have activity in a home that is a part of such a piece of the history of this country. A very scary, disturbing, sad part of our country back at that point in time. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Be sure to check out Harper's new podcast,
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
It is out. All you have to do is search Cautionary Tales with Harper wherever you download podcasts, press subscribe, and enjoy binging away. If you like this program, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, audiobook, ebook, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.